All right, after a little bit of a delay, I'm Ron Turco. I'm very happy to be introducing Rod Snyder. Rod is the director of Field to Market Programs, and I have a little bit of history on him. It was a very brief, here's my bio right here on him. This was provided to me by Carl Anderson, so it's mostly okay to talk in public. So Rod comes to us via the National Corn Growers Association. Before that, he was with CropLife. He hails from West Virginia, and he's into this new area of trying to link all the parts and pieces together in the food production world, all the way from the field to the market, as they say. So with that, I'll let Rod tell us all about it.
Thanks a lot, Ron. This is one of the largest rooms I've ever spoken to. It's good to be with you. Good to be with you all today. Again, my name is Rod Snyder. I'm the president of Field to Market, the Alliance for Sustainable Agriculture. We're based in Washington, D.C. The organization's been around for 6 or 7 years now, but a lot of changes happening in 2014, which has caused us to sort of get out in front of a lot of different audiences to talk about what's happening within agricultural sustainability within a supply chain context. So that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today and the Field to Market program. So just a bit of a backdrop, how Field to Market came into existence. Back in 2007, some key players within the agricultural community got together to talk about how we're going to define and measure and communicate about sustainability in U.S. agriculture, particularly keeping in mind the challenges that lie ahead with feeding 9 billion people by the year 2050. And that's against the backdrop of really an expanding middle class. So the diets are changing, food consumption is increasing. So we know that overall food demand between now and the next 30 or 40 years is going to be significant, actually doubling food production over that time. All the while against, you know, very volatile weather conditions and weather patterns that seem to be changing all the time, making production more challenging in certain cases. And so all of these various factors, how can the food and ag supply chain get together and work together to confront this in a way that meets our productivity needs while also conserving the environment for the long term? So a little bit of the backdrop. So within that conversation, we also began to see some very large food and beverage companies, multinational companies, begin to set sustainability goals, also thinking about that challenge of feeding 9 billion people by 2050. Several different companies, these are just an example of some of Field to Market members that have set sustainability goals that have really helped drive this conversation that we're now having really at the farm level. So Coca-Cola, for example, they have committed to reducing greenhouse gas emissions across their supply chain by 25% over the next 5 years. They want to sustainably source all of their key ingredients by 2020, and they actually specifically call out the Field to Market program. They want to have 1 million acres of their sourcing areas enrolled in Field to Market. So Coca-Cola, one example. General Mills, another one. They want to sustainably source 100% of their top 10 priority ingredients by 2020. They want to see 2.5 million acres of their sourcing regions in Field to Market by 2015, and they want to be reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Unilever wants to cut GHG impacts by 50% by 2020. They want to also sustainably source 100% of their raw materials by 2020. And Walmart, perhaps the biggest driver of them all, instituting a pretty substantial sustainability program. They want to reduce or optimize fertilizer on 14 million acres by 2020. Just some of the major companies within the food and ag supply chain that are really helping to kind of set the table and how we're going to be responding to these goals. So a little bit more background. This is the current membership of Field to Market. We are up to about 60 different members that span four sectors that are involved in the sustainability work. The first sector is the actual the farmers, the grower organizations like American Farm Bureau or the National Corn Growers, my former employer, American Soybean Association, USA Rice Federation, the grower groups. A second sector is agribusiness. So companies like Monsanto, I see here in the room, John Deere, ADM, Cargill, those companies that are working with farmers day in and day out, the agribusiness sector is heavily represented within Field to Market. Also, conservation organizations like Ducks Unlimited, the Nature Conservancy, Environmental Defense Fund, are also part of this conversation. And then lastly, as I've already mentioned, some pretty huge drivers within the sustainability conversation, the downstream food and retail companies such as Walmart, Coca-Cola, Land O'Lakes, Procter & Gamble, Pepsi actually is one of our newest members just in the last week, McDonald's, all members of Fields Market as well. It's really the only place where you see a convening of the entire food and ag supply chain to talk about sustainability from the farmer all the way to the store shelf. So Fields Market's goal when we were created, and it still remains, is to define, measure, and promote continuous improvement in agriculture across the full supply chain. When we first formed in 2007, a lot of time was spent in the early years developing metrics for how we were going to measure sustainability. So really, it was no small task, no easy task, coming to some agreement around what are the types of things we're going to be measuring when we talk about sustainability. So we began to look at, and I'm going to talk about it as we go through this presentation, but we began to look at some key indicators such as soil erosion, water quality, energy use, greenhouse gas emissions. And then we began to dive in, and within each of those indicators, begin to put together really science-based metrics that would help us determine environmental outcomes. Some key principles within the Field to Market program, first, the actual definition of sustainability kind of created a foundation. This is a real basic definition, but this is the one that we're working from. It's meeting the needs of the present while improving the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And this includes increasing productivity to meet future food and fiber demands, includes improving the environment, improving human health, and improving the social and economic well-being of ag communities. Our bread and butter, what we really focus on within the Field to Market program, are the environmental outcomes. That's really where a lot of the emphasis, 90% of the emphasis, has been in the first 7 years of Field to Market. This is a really important slide because it details the guiding principles that all 60 of these organizations have come to an agreement upon that allows us to really move forward in this sustainability conversation. So the first is that Field to Market was always going to engage the full supply chain. So we've seen other sustainability efforts crop up where farmers are not represented or are really underrepresented in the conversation. And we did not want to make that mistake. We wanted to actually have real producers at the table with their commodity organizations helping to really helping us shape the way that we are talking about and defining sustainability. It's been really critically important. We are actually just focused on commodity crops, at least at this point, with unique supply chain and traceability issues. So whereas there may be ways in the U.S. to trace a head of lettuce from the time it's grown to it ends up in a store, it's going to be much more difficult to trace a kernel of corn from the time it's grown until it ends up in livestock feed and then into a steak on the shelf at Walmart. So how would these companies get their heads wrapped around sustainability of crops that did not have traceability? So that was a huge challenge and one that we began to take head on, and you'll see a little bit as we go how we confronted those issues. We really don't want to have to insist upon full identity preserve or full traceability within a sustainability program for commodity crops because that infuses a lot of cost and a lot of hassle that hopefully at the end of the day is not necessary to help meet what these downstream companies are looking for. Some other key guiding principles, it's important, but we're a science-based program, and fortunately a lot of these downstream companies really understand the value of really taking a scientific approach to this conversation, sustainability. It's also outcomes-based, and this is, I think, a really important point. So when you're talking about approaching a farmer about the sustainability of their farming practices, there's a couple different ways to do it. One way is to take what we call as a practice-based approach, where you would take a survey and you would have a list of practices and you have a good list and a bad list. So a company would say, we need to make sure you're doing, no-till or cover crops or certain types of technologies. We need to see all of this. And we can't have you doing these things on the bad list. It's a fairly simple, straightforward approach, but the problem is that in a diverse country like the United States with lots of different soil types and climates and growing conditions, not every single practice is always going to be feasible in every single acre of land in every single geography. And so we thought that it would be more appropriate, more difficult, but more appropriate to develop what we call outcomes-based sustainability metrics that really essentially put together some scientific modeling that helped to understand what are the real environmental outcomes of what farmers are choosing to do on their land. I'm not just taking a simple checklist that says, yes, I did this, or no, I did this, no, I didn't do this, but actually really digging into what are the impacts that we're having within a production system. And so that was really a key basis for also how we were able to get the farmers involved in this conversation in a meaningful way. We're also a technology-neutral program, which means that we are not weighing in on some of the hot-button topics of the day around organics or GMOs. We leave those conversations to others. We just want to understand what the environmental outcomes are from any growing practices or system management systems. And if you're an organic grower or you're a conventional grower, we can measure those things all the same way and understand what those environmental outcomes are. We have a commitment to individual grower data privacy. So if you're going to have a outcomes-based program that's looking at actual scientific metrics, you are going to need data to be able to run those sort of assessments. So if we're going to be collecting data to do that, then we also need to have a really strong commitment to data privacy and security, because we don't want to be exposing individual producers to undue scrutiny from folks that they never agreed to have share their information with. So another key component of the program. And then, of course, measuring broad-scale trends and looking at field-scale outcomes, which I'll explain what that means in just a moment. So over the last 7 years, basically three different buckets of activity that we've been involved in, deliverables that we've been producing for our members. The first is a national indicators report that was first produced in 2008, early 2009, documenting overall trends within U.S. agriculture, taking publicly available data from USDA, and then running analysis across those key environmental, key sustainability indicators to look at how has U.S. agriculture writ large been doing against these indicators. And I'm going to talk in a moment about the outcomes of those reports and what we've been seeing. Secondly, in 2010, we built a field print calculator to allow individual farmers to assess their own operations at the field level. So all of the methodologies that we developed to produce and publish the national report, we then basically took that down to a field scale to allow farmers to be able to go onto a website, onto our website, and input information and data and be able to get basically a score back so they could see what impact they're having on the environment through using the field printing process. And then the third deliverable is we began putting together what we call supply chain projects, which is allowing these downstream food and beverage companies and retailers to directly engage with producers, really for the first time, to have a conversation about sustainability so they could begin to take a snapshot and better characterize and understand their sourcing regions from an aggregated perspective in a way that they had not been able to before, but in a way that they've all committed to doing because of these sustainability goals. So more than a dozen of those supply chain projects really came to being in this pilot phase over the last few years, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment as well. So let's start off with looking at this National Indicators Report that kind of tells that sustainability story for U.S. agriculture. So the report, when it was published in 2008 and then updated in 2012, it really helped to create a baseline against which we could measure future improvement. So it really took data from 1980 to 2011 in the latest report and really created a baseline to understand what's been happening over that 30-year period and what sort of progress has been made. And again, it was we used outcomes-based, science-based approach to publish that report using USDA data. So the criteria, we've already talked about this, but technology neutral and practice neutral. We were looking at practices that are with production practices and outcomes that are within a farmer's control. And then we also looked at six crops: corn, cotton, potatoes, rice, soybeans, and wheat. In the 2012 report, we analyzed those six crops over time. The indicators that we looked at in that report were land use, soil use, irrigation water, energy use, greenhouse gas emissions, and also we looked at some socioeconomic indicators in 2012 as well. And we looked at USDA data from 1980 to 2011, and it was a peer-reviewed report. The results of that National Indicators Report were viewed through two different lenses. One was an efficiency lens, so looking at per unit of production. So we actually saw really great improvements across all six of these commodity crops, across the five environmental indicators, when you're looking at efficiency. And this is no surprise. If you look at basically the progress that U.S. agriculture has made in the last 30 years, technology adoption, more precision agriculture, hybrids, lots of different things, investments in conservation, it's no surprise that these efficiency metrics have been improving really substantially over the last 30 years. And that has helped farmers taking this national report from field to market really be able to tell a positive story about the direction that U.S. agriculture is going with respect to producing more with less, which if we go back to the original slide of how are we going to meet the demand of feeding 9 billion people by 2050, we really have to approach this as feeding more with less. And so that efficiency improvements have actually really been occurring across the board for all six crops and all five metrics. Where we've seen more variability is around total resource use and impact, and that has to do with obviously different years, weather conditions, as well as just overall planted acres for different crops. You're going to see a lot more variability in that, but understanding what is our overall water footprint, for example, in corn, we wanted to be able to look at that as well. So the report looks at it through both angles. This is an example of soybeans. The red line is the most recent five-year average, 2007 to 11, whereas the blue line on the outside is the average from 1980 to 1984. You can see with each subsequent five-year period, soybeans in the United States were decreasing their footprint across all five of those indicators using that efficiency metric. If you look at soil erosion specifically, you can see per bushel a pretty substantial decline on the right, per acre, and then also just total soil erosion decreases. So most dramatic under the per bushel outcomes, less dramatic around just total soil erosion. So let's move then to the field print calculator, which really kind of brings it into a real life setting on a farm. So the field print calculator was built to help work with individual producers to look across eight different indicators on their at a field level: land use, soil conservation, soil carbon, water use, energy use, greenhouse gas emissions, water quality, and biodiversity. And this calculator allowed farmers to compare their own fields, putting in multiple fields, also comparing their own performance over time, and then, interestingly enough, also benchmarking against county, state, and national averages. And then in some settings, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, working within a supply chain project, they could also anonymously compare their outcomes with their neighbors, which really drove a lot of interesting results. This is a snapshot of the field print calculator as it exists. This is the first one of the early pages where you actually go in and select your specific field. There's GPS coordinates and other information to help you find that field, and then you highlight it, and that begins to pull in actually information from USDA, which is we have a close working relationship with USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Services, to be able to get information about the specific soil type and slope of that field, which then is fed back into the algorithms that the field print calculator runs on, which then helps derive the outcomes that we see in the summary tab. So fast forward across several pages of data entry, and you come to the conclusion page, which then gives the producer their own little field print, their own little spidergrams, what we call that, and then allows them to index against those state and national averages. And then where we do have local information, we can benchmark more locally than that. So within the field print projects, we saw a number of companies wanting to engage using the field print calculator. They really wanted to test the utility of the calculator at the ground level within areas that they knew that they were sourcing particular commodity crops. And so we've seen a number of projects pop up around the country. We've seen Kellogg's and Bunge working in Nebraska. We've seen Syngenta and General Mills working on wheat in Idaho. We've seen a really big project between Unilever and ADM in Iowa around their Hellman's mayonnaise product that Unilever produces, wanting to understand the environmental impact of the soybean oil that's going into their mayonnaise. And so these types of very specific company-specific projects began cropping up using the field print calculator to help assess sourcing regions while protecting the individual identity of the producers that were participating in those programs. Here's a map of where we've seen a number of growers and projects occurring across the country using those six crops, looking at those six crops. We are between 500,000 and 1 million acres in total right now in those early pilot projects of assessments that are occurring in conjunction with those downstream companies. So where does that bring us today in 2014? So that was really all the early foundational work that has been occurring within Field to Market. In 2014, we made a pretty significant pivot by spinning off. We had been a project within the Keystone Center in Colorado. You may have heard some about that early work. We spun off this year and became a standalone 501c3 not-for-profit organization based in Washington, D.C., and hiring a staff and beginning to actually ramp up so that this program can scale in a significant way, which I'll talk about in just a moment. We began working on some key technology developments that would allow the field print calculator to integrate with existing farm management tools and softwares that have existing data sets that farmers are keeping, so that it could actually cut out that intermediate step of farmers having to go in and re-enter data into the Field to Market program, that they could actually access information that they may be gathering for other purposes and running it through the field print system to get their information back. So that interface, that integration is happening this year, and we're beginning to see some early examples of tools that want to come and work with Field to Market to make that process more efficient for the growers that want to participate. We also joined as a subscriber to the iSeal program. They're an international body that helps to oversee program verification for a number of sustainability efforts, like Field to Market, to enable supply chain sourcing claims. This is really important when you think about the crops, particularly that are exported into other markets, that wanting to make sure that the Field to Market program was not isolated just as a U.S. program, but also had some connectivity to global efforts as well. So if you remember nothing else from this presentation, I think this slide's really important. It's basically the three functions that Field to Market is going to be engaging in moving forward, this supply chain sourcing program. First is benchmarking and data collection. So Field to Market will be working with growers all across the country to really scale up this field printing process, either through integrated tools that farmers are already using or through the field print calculator on our website, to really help farmers begin to do those assessments and benchmark where they currently are today against these environmental and sustainability indicators. Secondly, once that occurs, we want producers to be able to identify opportunities for continuous improvement by working with partners and trusted advisors on the landscape, talking about how this information can be used to think about different types of management practices that may be introduced to a farm to make improvements in these sustainability metrics. I'm going to talk about in a moment how an example of the Certified Crop Advisor program is something that we're looking at leveraging there to help farmers innovate in ways that make sense to them, both economically and environmentally, without having prescriptions or direction coming from downstream companies like a Walmart saying, you know, a farmer needs to farm X, Y, and Z, or in this way, avoiding that level of really prescribed farming, but actually just allowing producers to think about ways in which they want to innovate and improve their footprint. And then thirdly, aggregating information that's coming in through the Field to Market system in a way that can enable supply chain sustainability claims. So for companies like Coca-Cola or Unilever or Pepsi or General Mills or Kellogg's, they want to be able to, in their annual sustainability reports or in communications to their consumers or in supply chain reporting context to retailers like Walmart, they want to be able to talk about the way in which their agricultural goods are produced. And they want to be able to report on the types of impacts that their supply chains are having on the environment. And so they have no real way to sort of do that right now without having a program like Field to Market to be able to access that kind of aggregated information to be able to report out on the sustainability of their supply chains. That's really the third function that we're trying to develop, including protocols around how these companies can talk about the sustainability of their supply chains using Field to Market data. So we need really very specific protocols that those companies need to be using. The program, this supply chain program that we're rolling out, is really coming out in two phases. The first is 2014 and 2015, where we're working on that technology development. We're working on how we connect with other partners on the ground. And also right now we're supporting what we're calling just participation claims. So these companies can talk about their engagement in field to market, but they can't actually yet talk about any specific impacts because we don't have enough data or participation yet to really support that. But by 2016 and beyond, we want to see broad scale participation in a way that with multiple years of data and engagement, so that these companies can then talk about the overall impacts and improvements that are occurring within their supply chains. Our work streams are divided into five different areas that all of these sectors participate in. So the farmers, the food companies, the agribusiness companies, and the conservation groups are all represented in five different work streams. One is goal setting, so actually just providing recommendations on what kind of goals we want to have over time with respect to sustainability in the United States. Secondly is a metrics work group that's identifying which metrics need to be updated, what sort of measurements we want to be making, really the science behind the types of measurements that we're doing at a field scale. There's input from all the sectors into those conversations. We have a technology work group that's talking about how we do integrate into some of those on-farm management tools and softwares and data collection sets. And then a continuous improvement work group that's looking to partner with crop advisors and others on the ground that can actually help advise producers in ways in which they can make improvements in their production practices and improve their sustainability outcomes. And then lastly, this verification and claims work group, setting some protocols for how these major downstream food companies can talk about sustainability within their supply chains. So we're really excited to be working with the Certified Crop Advisor Program and had even a meeting earlier this morning to talk about sustainability curriculum. How can we actually begin to link what's happening within these conversations at Walmart and General Mills and connect that back not just to the farmer, but to that entire network of advisors that are working with producers to help make recommendations that could lead to better sustainability outcomes. So we really need to be able to reach those farmer-facing audiences to have these conversations around what it means to help provide the types of recommendations to producers, as well as what are these downstream companies really after ultimately? What kinds of information and data sets are really going to be important to help them meet the needs and the goals that they've set for themselves? So really helping in that with that continuous improvement process. And really we view it as an opportunity for many of these crop advisors to provide a service to growers around sustainability that did not exist in the past until these supply chain engagements began occurring. So the value of field to market for all of the sectors that are involved, I think each of these different sectors are engaging in field to market or engaging in sustainability efforts for different reasons. One, for food and retail companies, as I've already mentioned, they're just looking to access aggregated data in a pre-competitive fashion to make sustainable sourcing claims. They have no way currently, or without an effort like this, of being able to determine if they hit 50% greenhouse gas reductions in the next 6 years. They can't just arbitrarily announce that they've done that if they don't have relationships to the supply chain and access to data in order to be able to talk about that. So that's why those food and retail companies are coming to field to market, and our membership in that sector is really growing. Secondly, agribusinesses have a business opportunity to provide relevant decision support tools and technologies and programs to growers, really providing that service around helping growers improve their sustainability outcomes over time. Grain buyers, I think this is a really important point. This would be, the ADMs or Cargills or Bungies can report the sustainability of their sourcing areas through a single platform rather than responding to multiple competing surveys that may not have the same degree of supply chain support or recognition. The reason why I think this is such an important point to consider is the fact that over the last few years, many of these food companies have begun developing their own questionnaires or surveys that are not They're not insignificant in length or in the type of things that are being asked. Some of them are 80 pages long, that they wanted to try to get to farmers to talk about all of these different environmental outcomes or social outcomes on their own in a company-specific way. The problem is that those can start piling up very quickly, and there's no way that any producer can have the time or the ability to really to respond to all of these things, especially when commodity crops are going in so many different directions, and you don't have that kind of traceability. So, for the folks that are stuck in the middle of the supply chain, those grain aggregators, they were getting a lot of pressure from these companies to answer these questions, and really no way of doing that. So for these companies, as well as for farmers, it was very important to have a single platform like Field to Market as an opportunity to respond to these companies in a way that was science-based, was technology-neutral, and that was simple enough that they only had to do it one time. And so that's why we've seen some convergence in that way around a platform like Field to Market. For conservation organizations, they have the ability to have the confidence in the framework that we've developed, that it is science-based, in a way that they can actually point their efforts to Field to Market when it comes to a lot of their agricultural engagements. And then for farmers, it's allowing them to evaluate their footprint, to connect with tools and technologies to make improvements over time. Growers are benefiting from an outcomes-based, technology-neutral program that will help to ensure market access. While eliminating this proliferation of supply chain surveys, this is really one of the key reasons why these grower organizations came to the table, is they do want to be able to ensure this long-term market access without having such a burden of sustainability reporting to lots of different companies. And for commodity groups, they have the opportunity to partner with the ag supply chain in communicating sustainability messages to the public in a way that's never been possible before. So to be able to get farm organizations to talk about positive stories about sustainability in U.S. agriculture, and then to be able to have major companies with major marketing budgets that are talking to consumers every day is a real opportunity to talk about the positive elements of farmers and farming here in the United States in a way that wasn't possible before, and to agree upon those kind of sustainability metrics that we can actually communicate was a really important step. And as someone who used to work for a commodity organization myself, I used to think about the ways in which we would try to have these marketing budgets or public relations budgets to try to talk about the work that farmers are doing, but it pales in comparison to what, for example, a Coca-Cola or Walmart could do on any given day with respect to the reach that they have to their consumers. So Field to Market's website is there, fieldtomarket.org. You actually have the opportunity there to look at the field print calculator. It's free and open to the public. Anyone can go on. You can pick any field that you perhaps that you have and input information and see how it works. You can download the two national indicators reports from 2008 and 2012. You can also take a look at all the existing supply chain projects that are underway across the country, and there's new ones being added all the time, to read about who are some of the participants in those projects and the type of scope that's the scale that's occurring there. So with that, I'll wrap up my prepared remarks and just perhaps take any questions at this time. Thank you. And I can't see very well, so go ahead. Hey, Dan. So there's very limited traffic, just of folks stumbling on the website or just going and doing this on their own. The vast majority of the engagement is in these supply chain programs, so where you have a company that's gone into an area and partnering with other players in that region. That's where most of the field printing is occurring. We think in the future that's going to be the same. The farmers are very rarely going to go off and just do a field assessment on their own if they have no particular reason to. But if there's a company coming and saying, for example, this week we're down with Smuckers in Tennessee looking at white corn, those farmers are participating in this because Smuckers asked them to. So that's largely where the growth is occurring, not so much farmers just going on and spending 45 minutes they could, and there's actually some value to that, because one of the things I didn't talk about is the fact that, you can do actually, in the calculator, you can do scenario adjustments, so you could say, well, if I adjust my tillage or if I adjust my nutrient application rates, you actually can begin to see how that changes your environmental outcomes. You can kind of play some scenarios out. So for really advanced farmers that find that interesting, there is some interesting information there. I think there's even more valuable information within the supply chain context where you get a group of 20 or 40 growers, and then some of them have allowed their data to be shared anonymously within that sort of cohort, and then they can see, well, my water use is much higher than everyone else's, but I'm not getting any better yield. Could I make some adjustments? And so you've actually seen farmers making management decision changes by getting that type of information back. Our goal is that this would become the industry standard or an industry standard that would really be the go-to way in which we are measuring these outcomes. Because the worst thing that could happen would be true chaos is if there's 15 different ways to measure sustainability. If you can get an agreed upon way to do it, if you have an industry standard that the farm organizations have agreed upon, the conservation groups and the food companies and agribusiness all together, that's a really powerful thing. There's a lot of value in that. And so we believe that more companies will begin to converge around this industry standard for measuring sustainability. It's also really important to get it right in that case, because there's a lot of folks that are relying on you for that information. A great question. So there have been a couple of examples of companies offering a small premium bushel premium, but it's been the exception and not the rule. And so when I'm talking to farmer audiences, this is not really great news per se, because they want to be compensated for doing this sort of thing. But for a lot of these downstream food companies, they want to see this just being part of the way that the agriculture sector does business, is just assessing their outcomes, their sustainability outcomes, aggregating information up, and that it's not another niche market. They want to see it be a way in which the full agriculture supply chain is just operating on a day-to-day basis. So the goal is not to create another organic market. The goal would be to try to have as much scale as possible of farmers just understanding their environmental outcomes. There are some cases where companies are offering a small premium. Most cases, they're not. So, for what it's worth. It's much more difficult on the open market, but that is worth trying to design it for that way. So, it's voluntary. This has been one of the struggles. There's not necessarily a carrot, or right now a stick per se either, but it's been sort of the voluntary sign up and participation. We've actually had some success with that when the company comes in and engages with growers in an area that, you know, they said, look, Unilever said we are, we know we're sourcing most of the soybean oil for Hellmann's from this area. We really need you to do this. They saw some pretty broad sign up and participation, and they're in their second year now, and there wasn't a lot of drop off. They got most of those producers to come back. They're not contract growers. They are going they're working with ADM, working with facilities in that area. So it's a challenge. It remains to be seen what sort of scale you can get without offering a premium or without denying market access. But at the moment, the goal is to try to keep this voluntary and to try to get as much participation as possible, working with those intermediaries like Cargill or ADM or Bunge or others that are involved on the commodity markets. Right. So another good question. There's a separate group called the Stewardship Index for Specialty Crops that's based in California that has developed metrics for many fruits, vegetables, and nuts. They are much smaller with respect to their overall operating budget. They only have a half-time staffer. They haven't developed a field print calculator like we have. to really make that field level assessment easy. So I don't know long term what they're planning to do. We don't have any interest right now in sort of stepping onto their turf. I mean, we have our hands full with just scaling up these large. I mean, if you take just the six crops that we're looking at, there's 250 million acres, and we're not even at our first million acre yet. We're getting close. But our focus right now is to scale those commodity crops, see how the stewardship index is coming along with respect to fruits, vegetables, and nuts. And we can connect you with Allie Edwards, who's running that program out in California. Out here, we are in California. Here in California. So anyway, yeah, we can connect with folks who are interested in talking with that group. And by the way, the livestock and poultry sectors are doing work in this arena as well. So the dairy industry has the Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy has been active now for a number of years. There's a new U.S. Sustainable Beef Coalition that's coming together. The National Pork Board has an effort, and I just got a call from the U.S. Poultry and Egg Association. All of them are trying to figure out ways in which they're going to respond to these same exact downstream companies' needs for information around the animal ag side. We want to be involved in all those efforts as well, because the feed grain piece of that footprint is not, not insignificant. So we're working with the animal ag folks as well. They have different issues than us, but some of it is the same. Yeah, so right now what we're building is an application program interface, and I'm not a technology expert by any means, but the API that's being built is basically allowing us to, it's sort of a code or something that will allow us to send that API code to the company that is doing some data collection for other purposes, if they so choose, that will allow that data to be in a standard format to be communicated back to field to market. We would run the analysis on our servers and then send that information back to that company. So I don't want to talk about any specific companies right now, but there are a lot out there, of course, that are doing lots of different data collection, and especially now, with GIS information and data coming right off the tractor, for example, farmers are having access to more and more data all the time with regards to their production practices. If they can just, and with a click of a button, do a sustainability assessment with that information, it would be super easy for the farmer and wouldn't take any additional time. Especially to get to your question, if there's not a premium being offered, you want the barrier to entry to be as low as possible, because if you're asking a farmer to go and re-enter, sit down for an hour and re-enter data that they already have somewhere else, it's asking a lot if they're not getting paid to do it. So that application program interface will basically be that coding that will allow us to talk to those other systems that farmers are using. It could be just a record keeping system. It could be data that's coming directly off the tractor. It could be lots of different programs that are out there right now. Yeah, that's a good question. So we're not trying to replace the organic market. It's a different, it truly is a niche market. It's, a few percentage of the overall production, and there are consumers that specifically seek out the organic label for purposes of, they don't want, it's quite rigorous. You can't have certain chemical uses and all these sorts of things. My guess is that there will always be a market for that. I think for these companies, what they want to see is just their overall supply chain seeing improvement over time in a way that they can then communicate that to their consumers who are just buying general goods that are not necessarily labeled in a special way, but to say, you can rest assured that your Wheaties, that you're eating for breakfast in the morning, that it's coming from farmers that are participating in the field-to-market program. We know what their environmental impacts are, and we know that over year and over time, we're seeing improvements within our supply chain. We can't trace it back to an individual farmer because that, you know, that's not part of what we're attempting to do here, but from sort of a regional perspective, they're able to assess that. They think that that's good enough or an important step to take in bringing some transparency to their consumers without going that extra mile of having to have necessarily a product label. Now, some of them may, right now, who knows, in 5 years they may want a product label, but right now they just want to be able to talk about more from a general sense what's happening within their supply chains. I don't think it replaces organic, but hopefully it does at least shift the conversation with the overall consumers that there is a broader conversation around sustainability that's bigger than just organic, because it's going to take lots of different production methods and practices if we're going to feed 9 billion people. We're going to have to do that in lots of different ways. There's no silver bullet. So I think that's actually an important step.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.